I sure am thankful to be with you today. It is so great to be a part of this church family. It's exciting to me to know that Darren and Margaret are here. I certainly won't go into all the details, but I know my brother had some tough times in that hospital. But to see you here today is all the encouragement I need, brother. My tank is full, and I'm ready to rock and roll, so here we go. But great to see you guys. It's great to see so many, and more are able to get out and be a part, and I love that. And so if you're at home still watching, and we're thankful for you as well, but certainly know that we miss everyone that's not able to be with us. Last week was Mother's Day, and so with that, it was fitting, I guess, for us to talk about mothers and talk about and challenge ourselves to be more like the way Jesus loved His mother and such. And so with that thought in mind, what I decided to do was, since we're teaching a class on families, is to start talking about elevating our families. Now, here's the thing that matters. Not everybody in here is married. Not everybody in here is a father. Not everybody in here is a mother. But everybody in here is a part of a family. And so with that, wherever we are in our families, wherever we are, whether we are son, daughter, husband, wife, whatever we may be, we must elevate our part of our family. We need our families to be close to God. You see, the family as we know it was designed by God. The family was designed by God. Here's how it happened. Adam had a job. His responsibility was to find a helper among the animals. I'm thankful he did not. And so when that did not happen, God put him to sleep and took a rib from his side, and he formed woman. And once he formed woman and Adam woke up out of his God-instilled anesthesia, that's for Dr. Lambert here, he was able to look and rub maybe the sleep from his eyes and see this woman. And he said it this way, "This is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." The way I like to say that is, he said, "That's the best looking thing I've ever seen." Okay? Think about where he's been, what he's had to do. And so God then took woman and he took man in the Garden of Eden, paradise itself, and he united them together and he made the family. God made it. God made it. And here's what happened. It appears it was just a little while longer. I don't know how much longer it was, but it appears it was just another chapter longer. The devil slithered his way into Adam and Eve's marriage, and he's had a foot in the door in the family ever since. But what we've got to do, church, Murphy, that was a great point. Thank you for being up here. Thank you for leading us in that. But the United States, our culture, is in trouble because the nuclear family is no more, according to culture. Now it's whatever you want to be, with whoever you want to be, however you want to be. But that's not what God said. And we, as a church family, have to understand that our influence, our design, our pattern still comes from this book. And it still comes from God Almighty. Now, influences come from all over the place. Parents and family are an influence on the family. Television, influence on the family. Music, movies, social media, friends, teachers, ministers, church. They're all influences still, if you look at the research on the family. But the research shows that the number one influence on our young people today, still mom and dad. No matter what you throw at it, no matter how much, and again, so all those things I just mentioned influence one way or the other the family, but the number one, according to research, still shows that parents have the most influence. I still believe, and I always will, that youth ministry begins at home. I still believe that the family should be and can be a positive, safe zone that we all can rely on. I want us to look at how we can counter the influence of Satan's slither, of the world itself, how we can counter that influence on our families. I believe that 1 Peter 1, 13 through 19, which will be our text today, and we'll get there in a moment, gives us all the ammunition we need to have a counterattack on the devil and the influence that he's given us. But again, before we get there, I want to share with you a quote that comes from a lady by the name of Ellen Goodman. Ellen Goodman is a self-professed liberal feminist. That's what she calls herself, okay? Here's what she said. Americans once expected parents to raise their children in accordance with the dominant cultural messages. Today, they are expected to raise their children in opposition to them. Once the chorus of cultural values was full of ministers, teachers, neighbors, leaders. They demanded more conformity, but offered more support. Now the messages are violent cartoon characters, rappers, and celebrities selling sneakers. Parents are considered responsible only if they are successful in their resistance. That's what makes child raising harder. It's not just that American families have less time with their kids. It's that we have to spend more of this time doing battle with our own culture. Self-professed liberal feminist. But I agree with her. I agree with what she said. We're in a battle. We're in a war. This war didn't just begin 4, 5, 6, 10, 12, 10 years, 15 years ago. This war began in the Garden of Eden. This war began between... That's what Satan wanted. He could not win. He knew he couldn't win. He could not overcome God. He knew and he still knows that hell was in his future. What could he do? He could destroy the family. He could restore the good that God created. Join me, please, in 1 Peter chapter 1. Gabriel read to us, thank you, Gabriel, from 13 through 15. I want to go all the way through 19. Let's read what the apostle says here in this passage. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Verse 17. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Now, some of you may be thinking, that is a great passage of Scripture. And I would amen that as well. But Terry, what
does it have to do with family? And so I'm so glad you asked, because we're going to dissect it and unpack it and make it our lesson today. We've got 4 points. 4, I believe, powerful points, not because I made them, but because they're made straight from the Word of God. And so what I want to do is take you on this journey, on this series of lessons. I'm not real sure where the end goal is, except for the family to elevate and to get closer to God. Number one, as we strive to make a Christ-centered family, wherever I am, whatever family member I am, we got to understand this. I cannot conform to the world's standards. If I want a Christ-centered family, make it personal, you cannot conform to the world's standards. Go back to 13 and 14. Therefore, gird up your loins of your mind, be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance. We live in a sinful world. That's a no-brainer. But listen, here's what Peter is saying. He's saying, you all have been baptized into Christ. You are walking in the light as He is in the light. Do not conform back to the former things that you just left. Here's what's going on in the world today. I'm not talking about secular people. Listen to me. Secular people have not lost their way. They were already lost. Okay? Worldly people have not lost their minds and their souls. They were already lost. I'm talking about Christians. Christians today are leaving the church and conforming back to the ways of the world because we want to be like whoever we saw on social media, or whoever is that superstar, or whoever is this, or whoever's got a lot of money. We want to go back and be that way, and our families are deteriorating right before our eyes. Because mamas and daddies and whoever the guardian is, they're trying to chase some dream or chase something out there that's a very minute opportunity to obtain. And we are losing Christians. Christians. Baptized believers are slipping away. Getting so wrapped up in politics. Getting so wrapped up in social media. Getting so wrapped up in sports. Getting so wrapped up in whatever extracurricular activity that they are conforming back to the ways of the world. That ought not be so. We live in a sinful world. I'll go back to that point. But we cannot conform to this sinful world. Water, if it conforms, right? That's why in Romans 12, when Paul says to, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, remember he tells us, do not conform to this world, but be transformed, right? Don't conform, but transform. Water conforms. If we could pour water into this building, and you have to imagine with me, without it knocking the walls out, et cetera, it would take the shape of this building. If you poured it in a glass, it would take the shape of a glass. In a swimming pool, the shape of a swimming pool, et cetera. There's no substance to it. But see, we're not water in God's eyes. No, we drink of the living water, but now we're clay. And that clay has substance. And that clay, if we allow the potter, God, to form us, again, I didn't say the whole family today. We're talking about the family, but make it you. If I allow God to form me, I'm going to be a better father, a better husband, a better son. Fill in the blank what you're going to be. But what's happening is I lose that substance. I lose that grip on what I can confidently know is going to lead my family to heaven. Just because everybody else listens to it. Just because everybody else watches it. Just because everybody else participates in it, likes it, hearts it, shares it, talks about it, doesn't mean we do. Listen, it would be real easy. My son is 13 years old. He can't stand it when I talk about him from up here, by the way. But just imagine with me that he's not sitting there. He has no desire for this. And let me tell you, his mom has done a great job with him. He has no desire for this. But just imagine, for if you will, he comes to me and he says he has a phone. You know why he has a phone? Because I made him get a phone because he's got practice all the time. He didn't even want a phone. He doesn't ask for social media. But what if I said, hey, Bo, the rest of the 13-year-olds, they got Facebook, they got Twitter, they got Instagram, they've got TikTok, they've got whatever else out there, Snapchat. You've got to get it. You've got to get it because you've got to be popular. You've got to get a bunch of likes. You've got to be the number one person. What if I said that? You would think that was the most ridiculous thing ever and you'd call me out on it, and you should, but there are people doing that. So I look at my children and I say, I don't care what your friends are doing because God called you to be different. He called you to stand up and not conform. He called you not to be water, but to be clay. If you want to be a great family member today, if you want to be a great man or woman of God today, then don't conform to the ways of this world just because everyone else is doing it and you may get talked about at school a little bit. That's the problem. That's the challenge. Stand up and be a leader. Don't conform to the ways of the world. I'm not just talking about children, though. I'm not just talking about children listening, watching, and moving their fingers. I'm talking about parents, ministers, adult influences. All of them are watching us. What are we doing with our time? What are we watching? What are we conforming to? Number two. If I want to be a Christ-centered family member, if I want to have a Christ-centered family, my conduct must be holy. In verse 15, here's what Peter said. But as He, that's God, who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. I made A's in conduct because my brothers didn't always. Especially my middle brother up there. I love you, bro. Thank you for being the example to me in a, you know, negative way, I guess. But here's, they will correct me if I'm wrong. Dad's not able to be here today. But they would correct me if I'm wrong. If you had a bad grade in the subject area and a bad grade in conduct, Daddy put two and two together. You're goofing off. And it was doubly worse. So I knew I had a little bit of grace if I made those A's in conduct. Right? Why do parents get upset if you don't have good grades in conduct? My kids in elementary school, I tell them, do not get a conduct check. Some are like, oh, it's just a conduct check. I don't care. I don't want conduct checks. Why? Because I want you paying attention. I want you. Why is conduct a big deal? Because we understand that it can get us in a bad way. So what did God say? By the way, He's also concerned with our conduct. He said, be holy in all your things. Here's your test today. Gave homework in Bible class. Now I'm testing you, giving you some test questions right here. You need to ask yourself this and do it honestly. I told you, make it personal. Is my mate, if I am married, is my mate closer to God
or more distant from Him because of me. That's strong. Is my mate closer to God or further away from Him because of my influence? Number two. Can my family see that doing God's will is the most important priority in my life? Does our family take a few minutes each day to read and discuss God's Word? Do all the family members pray together at least once a day in addition to mealtime? Is our family ministering to others who are needy, lonely, and struggling? Or are we self-sufficient and isolated from those whom Christ came to serve? Does our family talk to one another in loving tones as though we appreciate and value each other? You know what these questions center on? They center on the way we conduct our lives and our families in devotion to God. It matters what words come out of my mouth. It matters what words my family hears me say every day. Every day. I am very proud, even though I'm an imperfect person, I am very proud that my children will not hear me talk a worldly way. That doesn't mean I do that all the time. Because I am imperfect. Sometimes there's gossip. Sometimes there's frustration. Sometimes there's upset with the person on the road. But I'm proud that my children, even though that thought may be in my head and I try not to have that or I get aggravated and just being honest, right? That my children are going to say that their dad doesn't talk that way. You see, it matters what channels I click on the television. My family sees the shows and movies I watch. It matters what I read. My family sees if I pick up filth and trash to read rather than picking up the Word of God. It matters which sites I click on the internet. Pornography is just a click away. Whatever other social media site that I get on to use as a god, and that happens, social media has become some people's gods, they know that that's just a click away. You see, God said, let your conduct be worthy in all things. Be holy. Number three. If I want a Christ-centered family, if I strive to be a Christ-centered family member, then I must rid myself of the corruptible. Verses 16 and 18 now of 1 Peter 1. Because it is written, be holy for I am holy, and if you call on the Father who without partiality judges, according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers. Listen, folks, corruptible things will not save me. In fact, corruptible things will lead me to hell. Now think about that. Corruptible things did not and will not and cannot save me. No matter how much silver and gold I have, no matter how many dollars I have, no matter how big my house is, no matter how many cars I have, no matter what title I have, no matter what, fill in the blank, how many things I have, God's not going to get there and say, hey, you had a lot of money. No.
In fact, those things are more likely to lead me to hell than they are to lead me to Christ. You see, corruptible things like silver and gold did not redeem us. It was the precious blood of Christ. So what do I need to do? What do I need to do? I need to rid myself of the world, the corruptible things. If I'm going to be a positive influence on my family, any member of the family must do this. So you need to take a survey if you truly want to be the best. I have family members who I know and love and I'm very proud of that they felt in their own personal walk, that certain social media was causing them issues. So they cut it out. They felt that getting wrapped up in news shows, political stuff, was too much for them, so they cut it out. What would happen today if we cut out some of that junk in our lives? What would happen to our families? Guess what? Let's just say today, teenagers, I love you. Okay? No matter what I say, I love you. But let's just say today that for 1 hour, we cut the devices off. And we went and spent time as a family. And we looked in each other's eyes. And we told each other how much we loved each other and how much we appreciated each other and how much we were thankful for what that person had done or this person had done. And then we held hands together and maybe we sang a song of praise together and maybe we read some Bible together and maybe we talked about that scripture together and maybe we prayed together. What would it do if we did that an hour a day? It'd start winning the family back. It'd make a difference. That little boy that threw those starfish, you know the story. That man said, "You're not going to make a difference." He threw one in and he said, "I made a difference to that one." If it just makes a difference to one person in this room today, then it is worth every bit of study and energy I put into this. But I'm telling you, it'd make a lot of difference if we would get rid of the gods. G-O-D, little G-O-D-S. Just turn it off for a little while. You see, I've got devices. I'm preaching off an iPad. You know, I've got this silly watch that talks to me every now and again when I'm up here. I've got a phone in my pocket. And all of that stuff is very important to me because wherever I am, I've got my office with me. I can study, I can call, I can get directions to people's house, I can do a lot of things through my devices, but my devices are not worth me losing my family and my soul. And I'm not saying cut them off altogether. Some have taken those extreme roads. I'm saying take some time and look at each other and talk to each other and love each other and appreciate each other. And get rid of the corruptible. I shouldn't care what the world's popularized. I should care what Christ has done. Christ said it this way. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust will destroy, or thieves will break in and steal. Rather, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust can destroy, nor thieves will break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I want to ask you a question. Where's your heart right now? Finally this morning. If I want a Christ-centered family and I want to be a member individually of that Christ-centered family, then my family, myself, must be founded on Jesus Christ. Verses 18 and 19, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot.
some time ago. This has been quite a while ago, but I'll never forget it. I was in a fast food restaurant, and I observed a father really chewing on his boy, you know, getting on to him. Son probably had a bad baseball game that day. And the boy, you could tell, was struggling, tears in his eyes. Dad was harping on him pretty good, trying to let him know the importance of baseball. And by the way, I love baseball. And by the way, we're Jason and the Seth and our baseball team going to play for the state championship again this week. I'm proud for them. And when I was listening to that game, every time Seth Smith gets up there, man, I get a sense of pride about me because he's representing. And I'm not knocking off baseball here, but please hear out the story. The dad was chewing on him, and he was like, this and that, and you need to do this better, and you need to do that better, and you need to do that. And this is what really caught my eye. He said, don't you know baseball is life? I'm a huge fan. I love football. I love sports. But I certainly do not want my children believing that sports, homework, hobbies, vacation, or anything else comes before God. When I was researching for the book I wrote, I had the pleasure of asking a great number of families that had children that had grown up, turned out to be ministers, deacons, faithful members of the Lord's church. How'd you do it? Because I wanted to find out what they said. That's really where I based all those habits off of. How did you do it? Here's what one of them said to me, and I'll never forget it. He said, when they played sports, I made Christ the head of their sports. When they went on hunting trips and fishing trips, I made Christ the head of those hunting and fishing trips. When we went on vacation, we never missed services. We made sure Christ was always a part. I believe the answer simply is this. You want a Christ-centered family? Make Christ number one in your life. If I want to influence my family, I will do these things. I won't ever miss services on purpose. Just talked about the importance of worship. By the way, I didn't say I wouldn't ever miss services. I said I wouldn't ever miss them on purpose. In other words, Wednesday night's coming, and by the way, I really hounded this when I taught on elevating our worship to God, our devotion to God. So I won't get as fired up right now. You can go back and listen to that in the archives, if you will. But there are some people in this room. And the reason I know that is because we won't have this number on Wednesday, right? There's some people in this room who have decided, no matter what, I'm not coming back Wednesday night. Terry can preach it till he's blue in the face. Terry can harp on it. Terry can do this. And I'll be like, hey, that was a good sermon. It was a good thought. But I'm still not coming back Wednesday night. Now, I say that with all the love in my heart, but it's the reality. What does that say to our family? What does it say to them? That this doesn't really matter. If I want to influence my family to Jesus Christ, I won't miss services on purpose because Christ is Lord of my life. Secondly, I will be at Sunday school because Christ is Lord of my life. And listen, I won't even argue that it's not in the Bible. I won't even argue it. There is not a thou shalt go to Sunday school. It is not in there. So if you bring me that argument, you win. But if you bring me that argument, Christ is not Lord of your life. I love you. I'll be involved in Christian service because Christ is Lord of my life. I will not just fill a pew
because Christ is Lord of my life. I will read and study my Bible daily because Christ is Lord of my life. I will be the spiritual leader my family needs because Christ is Lord of my life. When Christ is Lord above all else, then the family members will take note and they will all be drawn closer to God because of your influence. I'd rather just get up here and preach feel-good sermons, honestly. But I love you. I love the family. And I believe the family can be so much more. And it really breaks my heart. It really breaks my heart to know that things are more important sometimes. That popularity is more important. I, as a father, will confess to you, sometimes I've been caught up, why does my child not get invited? Why does my child not get included? Now, I'm not talking about here, school stuff, etc. But when I step back from that, and I think that I know exactly why, it really makes me smile with pride. Because Jesus Christ is Lord of their lives. And I pray that it'll always be the case. Jesus Christ is what redeemed us. Not corruptible things. Let's let our conduct be worthy. Let's don't conform to the world's standards. And if we need to change any of it, let's do it right now. Together, we stand and sing.